Hey, I love how professional you are now. You're like, yeah, that's what camp's like. And if that was me, I'd be like in the back saying my prayers, just fucking drinking all the coffee I could.
Oh man,
you're numb to it now. Well, yeah, not numb to it, bit. You're
I'm numb to the fear of it for sure. There's no fear.
That's good.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
1, 2, 3.
Camp day. There we go. I fucked that up.
That was a slow count in.
That was. And I am about a cup and a half full of coffee. So that was like, yeah.
All right. Sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4.
There we go. Perfect. You'll hear that in the edit. That was bang on. The slow one was not. Anyway.
Good times. So what's up, buddy?
Yeah, you got camp starting literally in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. And the nightmare situation for me just happened. So as right before the podcast, you were saying how casual and calm I look, things couldn't be more worse for me on a personal level.
Right.
So you won't know until you come here, but I have designed my space very specifically to be what I call a drumming day spa. You walk in and you just feel this kind of moment of clarity and at ease. And it's like, okay, this is where I want to learn. A big part of that is the aroma. I go to what you think I'm crazy about matcha. I'm crazy about candles, but it's not like it. Like if somebody brings in one of those Yankee Doodle, or there's like a company called the Yankee Candle Company.
Yes, another one.
Yeah, bring. I would snap that thing in half and say, "You get out of my. This is not where you live."
That is like the Costa Coffee of candles, right?
Totally. And I'm like, okay, I just got cancer from this thing. Like nothing in the world should be burned and smell like that.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of chemicals to make that happen. By the way, Yankee Candle Company, if you want to sponsor the podcast, I'll totally get on board.
Yeah. Stockton Phillips, they are. What we call them. Just exactly. Give everyone you hate them for Christmas. That's the...
It just shuts the whole joint down. And it's like, oh... Is that the cotton candy one? Like no one can breathe.
It's so true. It's so intense.
So I really go to like great lengths to find the aroma that's like, it's not male, it's not female, it's inspirational. And so that being said, today is camp day. Today's orientation day. So the campers will start arriving into the airport later today, and then we'll have orientation tonight. Well, I have a studio on a river. In California, there's no getting around it. We have deer, we have raccoon, and we have skunks.
Oh,
and my studio got skunks last night.
So what took me through the process of getting skunks?
So we have a three-story building, and it's like all exposed. I mean, I think you've seen the outside of it, but it's all exposed. Like we all have our little decks and everything, and there's little crevices that critters can get into in between the floors. So they're not in your studio, but they're in between my floor and the floor below me. Right. So in the rafters. And they get into a little squabble with each other. And Pepe Le Pew's like, psst. And it goes straight through my floor. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's no amount of fans. It's skunk. And it's not even like, oh, did someone get high in your studio last night? It's like, oh, that's clearly a skunk. Because when you walk in, your eyes burn a little bit.
How long does it last for?
Probably 2 days.
Really?
Minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the first time we toured America, and I remember the first time we smelled it, and it was just driving across the motorway or the highway, and you just, it hits you. And you're oh my God, that's skunk. Like when when you see like a dead skunk on the road or something and you drive past, you're like, that is undeniably skunk. And then it's
100%.
It's like, poof. And then obviously you're driving, so it kind of goes, but.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things where it happens. I mean, I was talking to Amber about it. She's like, well, what can we do? And I'm like, babe, we chose to have a business on a river. Like this is where they live. I mean, I'm not an environmentalist, but we are in their habitat.
Mm.
Skunk it up, kids. I mean, I'm sorry that we built a building. I didn't build the building here, but I'm renting the building that's built here. Like, this is your land, man. I'm cool with it. I get it. It just does throw off my game a little bit because I get out of my car and in the parking lot, there's a hint. And I'm like, no, 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 no. They went somewhere else. That's not my, no, that's not my place. Then all of a sudden I come up the stairs and I'm like, you know what? there's a decent chance that that is my place. And then as soon as I open the door, it's literally like Jean-Claude Van Damme goes, "Hoota!" and kicks me right in the face. And I'm like, golly, that's a lot of skunk.
But I, for an English person coming to your camp and experiencing that, I think it would add to it. Do you know what I mean? Like I said, when we smelt it for the first time, I imagine it was the same as when like an American came over and saw like a cup of tea. And they were like,
It exists. You really do drink that.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like
you have the choice to drink coffee, but you're choosing that.
And they're like, oh, do you know the Queen? And you're like, yes,
of course,
I do.
We all do.
We hang out every day. Yeah.
Her real name's Jessica. Like,
she plays the drums. She plays the drums too. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's like every time somebody plays the drums, they're like, "Do you know Questlove?" No, I don't know Questlove. He's on the freaking Tonight Show.
So true.
I heard Aquaman plays drums. Do you know him? No, yeah. I don't know him. I don't know anybody. Yeah. But yeah, so anyways, the place got skunked. I've got fans going. I've got my, you know, my inspirational candles going, but it's pretty much going to smell like inspirational ass.
There must be a guy who goes around America defumes skunk stuff. Yeah. I can imagine like a Ghostbuster sort of vibe when he comes in and he's like, "Listen, don't worry. I'll get rid of this smell for you." And he just goes around with like a backpack and a spray gun or some shit.
I wish he would just come in and be like, "Look, the only downside is your drum set's going to be covered in tomato juice. But other than that, you're going to be fine." Because that is, I mean, I don't know how much you know about it, but that's the only remedy is tomato juice.
Oh, man. That's another, these weird little things. It's like when you get stung by a jellyfish, the only thing that cures it is weeing on your own leg. Yeah. It's like,
I've never gone in the ocean without a full belly of water or a full bladder. Because I know that if I get stung, I'm peeing on myself. Yeah. I saw that episode of Friends. I know it works.
Yep.
I'm doing it. And I've taken baths in tomato juice. Had to put my dog in tomato juice.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet the dog really is a bad. I bet that when your dog gets skunked or whatever, that's bad.
Oh yeah, because they can't get it off them, so they run in and just like start twirling on all of your furniture. Oh. And you're like, and it's on the couch. Oh, and it's on my bed. Hey, there we go. Right against the bass drum.
That's what they do with fox, fox like shit over here.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Like fox stuff. Like dogs just love it. And it's really? the worst smell ever, mate. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Drum with Mike and Eddie.
Such a good drumming podcast.
I love these random intros though, mate. I could just picture someone just like discovering the podcast for the first time. Driving down the motorway and just like constantly checking their phone, like, is this the right?
This isn't it.
This said drum on.
This can't be drum.
Really big. It said drum. That's the only thing it said on the front cover.
It's an acronym. It's dummies round. Never mind. I can't get it.
Dummies ramble upon mischief. I'm
not cutting that out. No, I'm actually probably going to make a little Instagram clip out of that.
Yeah, cool. In my t-shirt that I found in the bin and my soaking wet hair because I'm just out of the shower. Hey,
all good, buddy. Most of our voice notes back and forth with each other have some amount of water splashing because you're usually voice noting me from a bath. I'm doing it back from a shower. Amber's like, "Are you voice noting Eddie?" I'm like, "No." Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know. Get out of here.
It's
this is private.
Time. It's 7 a.m. for him and it's 4 a.m. for me. So that's
good to go. We're good to go. All right. It is Drum with Mike and Eddie. Welcome in, everybody. Thanks to all of our patrons that support this podcast. This is a listener supported podcast, an independent podcast, no advertising. And we appreciate all the patrons. If you want to be a part of that, you can just check out the link in the description. It's patreon.com/drumwithmikeandeddie. And today we are talking about originality and becoming original. Not an easy thing to do. And to be honest, this is an episode that has probably been in the works for 2.5 years because our friendship was born out of a shared disdain for non-original human beings. And it's been a lot. The reason why we couldn't do this podcast sooner is because there was too much venom, too much anger. And this is not a negative podcast. And you and I never wanted to do something where it's like, "Hey, let's do a whole episode where we rip on people." That's just not who we are. No. We're definitely those people in voice notes to each other.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need to make a podcast out of it.
Yeah, no one needs to hear this. No one needs to know. At the end of the day, everyone needs a venting. You know, that doesn't even make sense. Everyone needs a vent. There we go.
I think everyone needs a venting partner, you know, and I've told lots of people, hey, when you go to NAMM, you might have some negative feelings about a product, about a company, or about a drummer. Hold it all in until you get back to your hotel room and have a buddy. And then you guys can be like, can you believe what Drumcraft is doing these days or whatever? Like, get it out.
Yeah.
I only said that because I'm pretty sure Drumcraft isn't a company. So I'm trying really hard not to dog anybody out. But, you know, and that's fine. I think the reason why it was a perfect time for us to do this episode is because we're finally in a position where it's not going to be negative. We want to actually help you, the listeners, because most of you listen to this podcast because you are content creators on some level. Some of you may not create any content at all, but some of you, I've checked out your stuff. You're doing it on a legit level. And I think it's very important to, if you want to grow as a content creator, you're going to have to be original. And there's no way that mindset can't just kind of make its way into your entire lifestyle about how you handle your life and how you interact with people and how you take on new challenges. Do you always steal your ideas verbatim? Or do you force yourself into going like, okay, that's a great idea, but it's time for me to move forward. So we're going to talk about originality in your sound, originality in your approach to maybe creating content, originality in education. But I want to start off with just trying to figure out, I think it's silly to say that, well, we can do a podcast about it because we're completely original. Like, we couldn't be here if we were original, because where did you learn how to walk? Exactly. From yourself? You just sat rolling on the ground until you're like, I'm going to walk. Like, everything we've ever done in our lives came from someone else or something else. It came from outside inspiration. And I think it's silly to pretend like, well, I'm pissed that somebody stole this from me because I made everything up on my own. So is there anything you can think of that you definitely got from somewhere else, but then you put in the effort to slowly make it your own or make your own variation of it?
Yeah. So the example I'm going to use is playing, the things that I play on the kit. Because okay. I think that's a big one, isn't it? You know, we all sit there and we're like, oh my God, you know, what can I play? I want to reinvent something. And it's like, mate, we all play the same things. It's just how we play it. But two things that I took, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but the cymbal work and the sort of space and the cymbal accents from Lars. And okay. then another playing thing was the singles and the fills from Travis. You know, those were things that I just subconsciously just did all the time because they were my favorite bands and favorite drummers. And looking back, you know, like my playing, when I watch like a clip of me playing or I listen to a recording or whatever, I'm just like, that's those two ingredients just there. Just, it's so
funny.
Yeah.
When I first discovered you, I would have never thought that either of those guys were an influence on
you.
Yeah,
I know. It's so funny. It's so, so funny. And I think that is because I've just spent just years and years sort of fine tuning how I sort of do it and trying to make it a little bit different. But those are the two things that I just immediately just took to. And then I think musically, I love hip hop. So the rhythm of hip hop influenced my drumming. We all listen to hip hop. We all listen to the same music, but it just influenced me in a little bit of a different way, I think. And then pop music.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you take something from Travis? Let's say a fill that you learned note for note. What's the process of how do you get it to stop sounding like Travis?
I think it's just chipping away. I think it's just chipping away at what you do. And then also the context in which it's played is always going to be different. You know, when I do like a Travis sort of feel in a song that doesn't sound like Blink at all, then it doesn't really sound like Travis. Do you know what I mean?
But right. Yeah.
You know, it's all about context and the same as well, like playing like punk rock music and stuff and just using the same accents as like Lars was playing in like a heavy metal band, same sort of, you know, heavy-ish genre. But yeah, it's just putting things in different contexts and just right. and that's what I do now. I know you do the same, like talking about taking things and putting it into a different context. You know, with drumming, I look at the fashion world, I look at like, you know, like the streetwear, the sneaker world, and then apply those things and into this sort of right. genre. And that's what I do. But yeah, to answer your question, mate, those things were something that I took. And then over time, definitely try to make my own by combining the two and doing a few little different things. How about you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just to kind of go off on your point a little bit, like, I think one thing that we have to realize is that when we borrow something or steal something from someone else, especially a drumming idea, let's say that I hear Dave Weckl or Vinnie Cagliotta do the Blujda, and I don't know what it is, but I want to learn it. Well, I'm hearing, I'm hearing their finished product, right? But I start with their finished product. They didn't start there. They started with a few notes and built it and built it and built it and then ended there. So if I'm starting where they end, it's no work for me to just steal that. It's like, well, I have the drum skills to do it and stolen. Now to do what they did, I have to put in the same steps. So it's like, well, I start now with this and then I grow it into something unique to me until I go, okay, I think if Vinny or Dave heard me play this, they wouldn't recognize it off of this specific album. You know, it's become its own thing. Mm-hmm. I have no problem giving credit where credit's due. But at the same time, I just think that we all have to put in our own work to grow it into something unique to us, you know? And that's why I try, I'm going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
It's the skunk, mate.
It's the skunk. But yeah, I mean, it sucks sometimes when you see somebody that you really look up to and you really like their stuff and they're offering either a new book or online education. I'm like, oh, I so want to sign up for that. But there's just no way like that I won't totally bring that into my own teaching, or maybe it'll be too verbatim. Maybe I'm too big of a fan, you know, like, because I'm in the same boat as you. I have the things where if you point to something, I'm like, yeah, that's the Faith No More album right there. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, I just knew that you didn't listen to it. So yeah, that one's note for note. I didn't grow that one. And so I think we have to all be conscious of, if you are learning something from someone and it's their final product, then their step, you know, Z is your step A. Now you have more letters to go through to create something that you're truly proud of. And I think that that's the biggest thing with any type of originality, is the people that steal information and the people that borrow information and then grow it into something unique. You feel it. You feel either proud or you feel like, I hope no one ever finds out. Mm-hmm. And so I don't like the, I hope no one ever finds out feeling. I like to be proud, you know, and once I'm proud, it's weird. Like when you feel like, I hope no one finds out, you're like, no, I didn't get that from Mike. No, I that's what I do, is I make cymbal boxes and I put them in a diagonal, you know, diamond pattern. That's what I do. And it's like, okay, but I know, like, Matt from, is it August Burns Red? Matt Greiner.
Yeah.
He's totally like, oh yeah, I got that from Mike. Cause he's in August Burns Red. He doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks. He's doing just fine. It's all those medium cats that are like, I don't know what you're, Mike who?
Mate, Jackson? It's so funny.
No. And it's like the big dogs are like, oh yeah, I got that from Bill. Yeah. Oh, just Bill? Like, yeah, I just took it because I thought it was awesome. And so I just want to say on this podcast, and then we'll get to you're so funny, or your it's so funny. But because it's so recent and so many people called it out on social media, I didn't really think of it at the time, but there's no way that I came up with farmer versus hunter. No way. I know for a fact that's from some marketing podcast 2 years ago, way back in the back of my mind, right? But if it would have been the way that I explained it, I would have never explained it. Like if I just casually said, you know, we can just think of marketing as like kind of hunting versus farming. Do you want to kill it or do you want to grow it? And then I think that's how it was brought to me. But I think I remember, or I know I remember in that moment being like, conceptually, that throwaway sentence is a full concept. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look up all the adjectives for hunting. I'm going to look up all the adjectives for farming. And can that be applied to teaching? Can that be applied to practicing your instrument? And so, but no way am I just witty enough to be like, you know, guys, you're either a hunter or you're a farmer. Like, no freaking way. Like,
It might have been. I reckon you could have come up with it.
No, I'm not that crafty. So I think that, you know, whatever you do, but that's okay. So that's my main point though, is I didn't mind saying it on the podcast because I put the work in. Like I took this throwaway mm-hmm. sentence and developed it into a concept that I actually live my life by. So I don't mind. And if I remembered where that came from, I would be happy to be like, it's, I mean, we've talked about a ton of different podcasts that we get information from all the time. So I'd be happy to tell it, but it's, I think that we have to do that with our drumming and with everything we do. Back to your point. It's funny.
I was going to say, it's funny, mate. I think when it comes to business within the drumming industry, I think you must be, I think I said this before, you must be the most copied drum guy in the world. You must be. Every time I'm on Instagram or YouTube and I see the iPad in the background and I see the cymbal boxes on the wall, I've got a cymbal box on the wall, but I actually did ask you, didn't I? And I said, I'll try and do it different, but I'll credit you every single time.
You did.
But every time I see the iPad, every time I just see it and I'm like, well, it's such a shame because that person could be a great teacher.
Right.
Could be very skilled, could actually teach me something I don't know or teach me in a way that I haven't learned before, but I'm just not going to give it any time because you've just completely ripped it off. Ripped it off.
And I think that that's what's the tough thing for all of us is that feeling of like, oh man, you didn't need to do this.
Yeah, mate. I experienced it today in my personal life in the sneaker industry. Like just a simple thing of like a color. We've spoken about this before, but like a color, a font, the way in which you do something when someone takes it straight away, it's like, oh, you really didn't have to do that. You know, now you've moved over into that world of people that I'm just going to keep at an arm's length. And,
right.
And, but yeah, you must be the most imitated, definitely the most copied drum teacher in the world, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about because otherwise you're going to drag me into something where I'm like, you know what? Let me tell you. I mean, yeah. And I think that there's a point where when you're coming up, it's actually very hurtful because you're struggling too. You know, it's like, oh man, that was the one thing I had was this originality. Now there's so many other things that I've had to kind of, as I get frustrated with somebody that's borrowing from me or stealing from me and not moving it forward. Like I said, like when Matt Greiner told me like, hey, I'm going to do some cymbal boxes in diamond shape. I was like, okay. And then I saw his studio and I saw the wide angles he shot at. I saw how he spoke to a camera. There were so many textural differences that I was like, that looks nothing like my spot. It actually doesn't even look like he got influence from me at all. I was totally cool with it. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, he reached out to me.
Yeah, that's exactly.
The other thing, just like with you, it's like
he acknowledged that you could see that as being, you know,
totally.
Him copying.
And I've done that with you, where like I had to call you, you know, back in the day, and be like, okay, this is the third time I've heard you mention a Discord group. What is a Discord group? I'm not going to borrow it. I just don't even know what we're talking about here. But when that happened, I remember thinking like, I hope it's not really cool because I can't use it. He's the first person to do it. So sometimes you just have to throw in the towel and be like, it's too attached to this one person. I've had to change the way that I introduce a YouTube video probably 4 or 5 times over the course of my YouTube career because I would hear somebody be like, what's up, YouTube cat or YouTubers and Facebook cats, this is Bob Schmeckenmeyer. And I'm like, really? Really, Bob?
It's
why you
so
gotta do
funny.
Me like that?
Like everyone can say, oh, it's flattery, you know, like it means something. It's a positive thing, but it's frustrating, mate. When you think about these things in the shower or just before you fall asleep and then they blossom and you put hours and time into making them be this thing and then someone just steals it, it is frustrating. And I think, you know, musicians, mate, if you want to do this for a living, whether it be an online educator or create content, you've got to try so, so hard at taking inspiration and being motivated from others, but trying to do things in an original way. Because it's like I said, mate, if I see a YouTube lesson or on Instagram and it's just an immediate rip of you or of anyone, I'm like, well, I'm just not going to give it the time, you know?
It's obvious when someone's borrowing their ideas, right? Mm. I mean, the reason why it's obvious is because you've seen it somewhere else ahead of time. And so I think of the pro drummer reacts to Whiplash. I'm like, well, okay, but you stole this from pro cinematographer reacts to 1941, you know, and pro this reacts to, it's like, okay, you're doing the reacts to, I got it. Or I'm trying to think of another one. I'm going to hire a bunch of people on Fiverr to remix my drums so that I can make fun of them. It's like,
that's the one that gets me. That actually really, really annoys me.
And that's, you know, when it's like, okay, I can actually write you off. You and I have talked many times about this. Like, we don't dislike anybody. You are either in the care bin or I don't care. And I have to, it's like, and I'm moving you over to the I don't care bin. Like, I just don't. Now I just can't give it my time. But that one's a tough one to watch.
Oh, mate, I can't watch it. I think I got on Instagram once and did a little rant or a rant about it, because I just thought, mate, who are you to like? There was a load of people doing it, and I was like, right. No, man, this is not music. This is not what it's about. Like, you don't sit there and analyze someone's efforts and creative efforts and hard work and judge them and say, no, that's not good enough. I wouldn't do it like that. It's like, mate, that's not what drumming is about.
Well, and the original one that Peter McKinnon did, I mean, he's the one that started all this. The original one, he actually gave a lot of credit to the people that did it, saying like, it was kind of like he had like 20 different people do it, and he didn't show all 20. He showed 6 that were really good and was like, look what this person did. Go follow them on Instagram. It's like,
that's a
totally different approach than like, hey, let me rip up this person who mixed my drums for $5. It's like, I'm sorry, what did you expect? Have you ever hired Terry Date to mix a song? It's not $5. Like, exactly. What were you expecting? This guy just to knock it out of the park for $5?
Exactly, mate. And going back to like originality, right? With let's talk about hiring a musician. I think this is so, so important when it comes to being original or trying to be like an original artist, musician, or whatever it is. It's play how you play. Now, that could, you know, with these Fiverr videos, for example, you could get someone that plays quite stiff, but the song requires someone to play quite, you know, a little bit more fluid. And with this person, you know, describing the drummers who he's paid, he could go, well, that's not good enough. And it's actually like, well, no, that could be perfect. It's just out of context. Right. And it's all about just playing how you play. And I think that's a very difficult thing to do. I've said this a few times, but, you know, I think we all sort of want to morph. I did it at an early stage. I wanted to morph into every single genre, every single style of drummer that I could be, because I wanted to play on every single record or do everything. Probably because I needed the money and I just wanted to just do everything.
Yeah.
And now I'm at the point where I'm like, actually, I know who I am. I know what my strong points are, and I can turn down stuff and say, nah, it's not for me, or be fine with being told it's not for me. And that just comes down to being an original, you know, trying to be original, just playing how I play. So it separates me, you know?
Do you think, absolutely. I agree. And I think your originality, I mean, dude, when we met, you were my new competition. There's no reason for us to be friends.
I know, it's so weird.
So it's like, then why are we friends? It's because of your originality. I looked at what you were doing and I was like, honestly, this dude's crushing it. This guy's doing it in a way that I've never seen before. I've never seen an educator drop an F-bomb. This is amazing. Like, you know, but I mean, even that, as simple as it is, as soon as I saw someone else cuss on Instagram while sitting on their couch with a practice pad, moved into the I don't care about you bin. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you, I know where you stole that from.
Yeah.
You thought it was cool that Eddie cussed, and you thought that Eddie cussing was the secret. But what they don't understand is you never thought about cussing. If you thought about it, you would have never done it. Like,
exactly.
You were being you. And I think that that's, I'm literally yelling right now.
I love it.
I realized, I was like, my ear's getting hot. But that's the thing that, like, I think the biggest takeaway from this entire thing, if I see anything on Instagram where they post our screenshot and then put something in quotes, I want to see originality takes effort.
Yes.
Everyone just thinks like, well, I'm just not very original. It's like, no, the people that are original are working their asses off to not be copiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
dude,
yeah,
you
yeah.
do it in the sneaker thing all the time where it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but having like a bright colored Nike shoe against a white background shot at a certain angle, shot with like a flat white background, and then the color grading is flat, but letting the colors pop. It's like, that takes so much work to make it look like it took no work. But all the work is not in the work. The work is in the thought before you ever snap the frame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly, mate.
God, I'm hot.
I think that's the key to being original, mate. Is like, because I remember when I started turning on the camera and trying to teach through a camera, my God, I was like, oh, flipping out. This is hard. You know, just not knowing where to go with it, not knowing like how to talk. I remember, you know, I make this joke all the time, but I sat there and I think I got as far as saying, hi guys, and then realized I never say guys, and hi there, mates. Which one is it?
Is there one of you watching, or are you watching with your friends?
Exactly. Yeah. At that point, there was probably zero people watching. But it got to the point where I was like, mate, I'm overthinking this so much because I am at the point where I'm either trying to not be like this guy, subconsciously trying to be this person. And I was like, you know what? Just stop thinking altogether. And I think that's where your sort of originality comes from, when you just start turning down the thoughts of trying to be like this person or trying not to be. As I said before, we literally play the same things with a bit of wood. We hit a bit of metal and we hit a bit of plastic. The only thing that separates us are us. Do you know what I mean? It's like, just be that person times 10. And it will make a huge difference. You know, I'm not the most original person in the world, but I definitely try to be. And I think it goes a long way, especially if you want to do this for a living.
Bro, you just said it. I'm not the most original person, but I try to be. And it's like, that's what I'm saying is like, I don't think it takes a lot of effort. It bums me out when I see somebody that doesn't try to be original. I'm like, dude, you stole the idea, but you didn't develop it. You think I invented online drum lessons? It's called iTunes. I saw what Steve Jobs did. He broke up albums and sold the songs for 99 cents. So in 2006, I was like, I'm going to do that for the drum world. I'm going to take DVDs and break up the lessons into 99 cents instead of making a $45 DVD. I didn't just come out of that with like out of nowhere. Live streaming drum lessons. Where did I get that from? I saw the Chicago Cubs stream a baseball game in 2007, and I called the Chicago Cubs and I got a hold of their IT director and I found out how they did it, and it kind of morphed it into the drum world. And it's like, well, we're not, you know, if I was like stealing it verbatim, I would have streamed concerts. But I was thinking, well, I don't want to do a performance, but I think I could stream education. And so at no point are you and I saying that we are 100% original. Nobody is. What we're saying is that when you steal the idea, if you don't put in that 10% of originality, then you're just a thief. And we all need to strive harder to be as original as possible, because like you just said, it's the only thing that separates us. Like, you know a six-stroke roll and I know a six-stroke roll. We play them and we use them very differently because we've sat in a room by ourselves in a very lonely situation going like, well, I don't want to play the one that Eddie plays. I'm going to be on stage with him at the UK drum show at some point. And I'm not going to be like, I mean, how lame would it be for you and I to be trading fours and then everything you play, I just play it back verbatim. Like, gotcha. And it's like, no, I want you to play what you do. And then I want to do what I do, so that we can like level up, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's so funny. Like, I think it blows my mind sometimes when people don't want to go down that creative route of being or trying to be original. Like, that is what it's all about. You know what I mean? It's like the reason why I haven't been personally making a lot of videos drum wise over the last sort of month or even longer than that, just lockdown. It's like, there's nothing for me to get my creative juices going at the minute. You know, nothing is going on for me right now.
Yeah.
But that is like, that's what it's all about, mate. Like,
let me ask you this.
Trying to be creative.
How tough is it when you're not in that moment of originality and you're not feeling creative, and then you see something that's working for somebody else and you could just steal it? You have the camera gear. You have the drum skills. What stops you? And I'm asking you seriously, like, what is it that stops you from just stealing their idea?
Couldn't do it. Just, I have no idea. Just
couldn't do
could,
it. Couldn't
could
do it.
Could not do it, mate. You know,
right?
Over lockdown, you know, everyone started using Twitch. Everyone started using like TikTok and doing these crazy covers. And I'm like, or like reviews or reacts. Yeah. And I'm like, that's cool, man. But I just can't. I'm sure I could do that. And I'm sure I could get like a fair few people watching. I know you could. Do you know what I mean?
Both could. So why don't we do it?
I know. My integrity sometimes is just means more to me than other things. You know, I'm just like, you know what? It's like, I'm sure that a video would go down better in 4K than it would do on a VHS camera that no one can see, no one can see anything in. But I don't care. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I have this thing in my head that I want to get out, and I'm just going to do it. And like the people who see and feel it that's for them. The people who don't choose to acknowledge it, then I don't care anyway.
Right. So and not to mention, they probably think that you put a VHS filter on your 4K camera. They don't understand, like, no, dude, the dude filmed that with a VHS camcorder. Mate, you know how hard it is to get that footage into a digital format?
Mate, I am I'm looking for a new one at the minute. I'm searching every night for this specific one. It's like this proper skater one. So you know, like skate videos when the videographer is a skater himself and he's skating. There's a big VHS camera with like a big handle
on the top. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm looking for that at the minute. There's a specific one that I'm really after. I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, I'm after
But that's
that.
Okay. That's originality because I'm not.
Mate, honestly,
I'm not looking for that.
I am going to, like, from next month, I'm going to start like putting up lessons again, right? And I'm just getting ready for it, mate. It is going to be like the most VHS, weirdest thing that anyone has seen. And I'm just going to, you know, it's going to be great. But
well, okay, so let's shift more positive, because I think even though we said we weren't going to vent, I know for me, like, I'm sweating through my jeans. So I clearly must have been venting.
I knew I was going to be hot and sweaty in this episode. Hence why I had like a cold shower before I started. It just gets me going, mate.
Dude, I should not have been snorting lines of matcha through at this whole thing. But so moving into a positive thing, I think what you just said is really important. You're not filming. You haven't launched the website yet. You haven't launched the new Patreon page for your educational content. And it's because you can't do that until there's a vision in place. And that vision is what takes so freaking long. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people understand. It's like, well, what am I supposed to do? Just sit down on the drums and play until something's cool? And it's like, yeah, that's why I don't make a YouTube video every day. I have nothing to, I got to play to come up with something where I'm like, ooh, that's cool. Now, how am I going to teach it? It takes a long, long time.
Yeah. Talk me through the journey for you. You know, this okay. of like creating something like original or something that you think is going to be
original.
I'm
in it right now.
Okay.
I'm in it right now. So I'm trying, campers get here today. And my plan was, okay, well, I'm going to be with them for a week. So that's basically a week of no personal social media. All my social media for the next week is going to be clips of the campers. So I need to get a YouTube video up today because my last YouTube video was a vlog that like four people care about. And so I need to get my lesson out. I need to feed the beast. And in my world, all of my eventual revenue comes from YouTube. I don't make the money from YouTube from AdSense. I mean, that's a very tiny little thing. But the people that spend 20 minutes with me on YouTube for a couple of days in a row eventually are willing to try my website out. They try my website out. They're eventually willing to come to camp. So that's my kind of financial funnel. So I do have to make YouTube videos. So the process starts with me like kind of going back and looking at my last few videos and thinking, well, what have I done? What have I done so that I don't rip off myself? I mean, that's a tough thing too. It's like you can have a little bit of success and then you start to rip off your own success all the time. And that's something I don't want to do either. Sorry, I'm just adding markers that say cough so I can cut it out.
It's fine. The skunk's getting to you, mate. I think you sat underneath the floorboard looking up going, got it.
Got him. So yeah, so once you have some sort of success, it's very tempting to rip yourself off. And I try not to do that as well because then that would be a lack of originality. And I get bummed at myself when... And that's happened plenty of times where somebody's like, oh yeah, that's actually like the first lesson I ever learned from you 6 years ago. And I'm like, oh crap. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I just delete it. I delete the brand new one that took me a week of work. It's like, no, it's not in the collection of my thing. I would be embarrassed by that I ripped myself off. So anyway, so I look at what I've done recently and go, you know, we haven't done a fill in a while or we haven't done a groove in a while or man, I haven't been on a pad in like 6 months in front of Instagram. I'm on it every day by myself. Or YouTube, excuse me. So it starts with that, a little bit of research of what I've done recently. I don't have a single drummer that I'm subscribed to on Instagram. Or I mean on YouTube, excuse me, on YouTube. Right. So I haven't seen a YouTube drum lesson by someone else in literally 5 or 6 years. Any YouTube stuff that I see, like when I was kind of talking about the drummer reacts to, I see it in a thumbnail. And I never click on it. I just actually go to the little dots and I say, don't recommend that channel to me ever again. Sorry, that was rude. Please don't recommend that channel to me as much as you have been. Thank you so much, YouTube.
It's needed. It's needed.
So anyway, so I kind of look at what I've done, make sure that I'm not ripping myself off. Then I kind of go, okay, I'm going to do a fill. Then I think like, then I just sit down at the drums and I start playing and I'm trying to, I kind of go through, if I play for 5 minutes of just maybe bar of groove, bar of fill, bar of groove, bar of fill, it takes about 5 minutes until all of my easy to reach go-to fills cycle through. Those are the ones I can't make a video on because I probably already have. I mean, those are the things I play all the time. Then I have to like kind of wait until that moment happens of like, okay, well now we're out of ideas. What do I wish was happening? And that's where everything starts for me. Then from then on out, I have to invent something from scratch. And then it takes about 2 weeks until I can pull it off comfortably in front of camera, making it look like I've always been able to do it. So that's kind of the whole process. And then it comes down to the naming of the video. And I have like a little app installed that tells me what my score is when I name something. So I'll name something. It'll say, okay, the search results for that are very low. And the competition is very high, so don't use that. Or the competition's low, but the search results are super high. Everyone's searching for it and no one's made a video on it. So that does actually help me a little bit. Because, I mean, dude, there's literally billions of videos on YouTube. How am I going to like just be like, I got a cool original name? So I'll kind of keep messing with the words until I find something. And then the other thing is I just have to decide, who is this for? Is this just a quick, like, you know, I don't know, candy video. And I mean, I've always used YouTube as like where my, I've always said YouTube is candy and mikeslessons.com is protein and vegetables. Like if you want to actually learn how to play this instrument, you're going to have to pay for that. If you just want some candy, I'll give that to you for free. So I kind of have to decide, okay, am I going concept on this, which means the views will be cut by like 80%, or am I just going like, dude, here's a quick fill, enjoy it. Then the views will go up. But are they the right views? So all of that is going through my head. And then then it's like, well, what's the original way to teach this? I'm sure this has been taught before, but how can that be original? How can I start this video in a way that I haven't started most of my videos? Like 3 videos ago, I mean, my formula has always been dessert before vegetables. So I play the fill, get you excited, then I teach the fill. But it always starts with me playing the fill. A couple of videos ago, I was getting ready to start filming and I was just kind of soloing around. And then when I went to go edit, I actually liked the soloing into the talking the most, but it had nothing to do with the video. So it was kind of like, all right, YouTubers, I'm all warmed up. Let's get started. And it was like, I've never started a video like that. I like that. And so I think all the way back to your point that originality takes, you know, that you have to work at it. Like that's, I don't understand why more people don't do that. And I also don't understand why the people that steal everything, not to go negative again, but why they don't understand that, okay, but the people you're stealing from just worked harder at being original than you did. They're not better at the drums than you. They're not better at speaking to a camera. They don't have a nicer camera. They just worked harder at being original than you did. So that's what you should be stealing.
Yeah, man, I was just about to say, and after you listed off all of those things, you know, this is why we get annoyed when people steal, because it takes so long to just like think of an idea in the shower, try and get it to a point where you're like, you're physically sat there on the kit to make it happen, then film it, then edit it. And the whole time you're thinking, okay, is this too like this person? Is it too like me? Like you said.
Yeah.
And then you finally upload it and then you see someone just rip it off. It's so, so painful. But that's the difference, I think, you know, not being harsh to people who rip off. Well, yeah, kind of been harsh, but whatever. You know, that's the difference between being an artist, being a creative, yes. being an individual who like enjoys that process, you know, of just like creating. Because that's what it is. You know, if we're drummers, mate, we create all the time. Every single time we play a beat, a feel, we're creating. And
there's, there's no way that living in England, you haven't seen at least one or two people do an Oasis song better than Oasis. Why did yeah. why aren't they all blown up? It's like, yeah, well, because exactly. You didn't write the damn song.
Mate, I love this podcast because it makes me sort of like reverse engineer everything that I've done, things that I've never thought about before. I have to think about them. And, you know, thinking about it now, I'm so glad that I've always had my sort of like blinkers on, you know, my blinders on.
Blinders.
I've just had my head down and just, what's my blinkers to you are indicators, blinkers, aren't they?
Yeah, that's your indicators.
Going left, right. To be honest, I am doing that as well. But I've always just like had my, I just doing my thing. You know, yeah. Whenever I think, you know, trying to be creative, trying to be original the whole time just comes from a place of just like comparing myself to myself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I never really look at other people's stuff. And if I do, I'm just like, you know, well, you've just ripped that off and I'm not going to do the same thing. But anyway, back to my point, it's a long old process. And I definitely want whoever's listening to this to try to do something, whether it be a video, an Instagram post, even a picture, try and put something up that you have never seen before.
Ooh,
try and be creative.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's hard, mate. It's so hard.
It's really hard.
It's more satisfying than the end result.
Yeah. Or, I mean, one, just yes, not an or. I totally agree with that. And the other thing, I think that is, never mind. I literally just had a stroke.
I love that. Mate, so do I. I have this thing. I'm talking, and then I'm like, oh my God, am I making sense? This is a podcast. People are going to be listening to this.
That's what happened. Is the podcast like fever got in me and I was like, okay, I really want to nail this sentence. I'm super excited about this sentence. But what I was going to say is the thing that bonds. Okay. One of our commonalities is that you and I both take our greatest amount of influence, non-original, from industries outside of the music world. So you take most of your influence from the fashion world. I take most of my influence from the camera world. And honestly, from like I know this sounds silly, but there's a very small industry of high-end matcha and matcha teaware. I'm talking like whisks that are like $600. And Amber said, what do you want for your birthday? I was like, I really want this teapot. I just saw it on Instagram. It's from this very specific designer in Japan. We looked it up. It was $6,200 for a teapot.
My God.
She said no. I said no. I was like, I don't want a $6,200 teapot. I thought maybe it was $100. So, but the way that they take their pictures, the way that they present it is in this very Zen Japanese, like just quality. Like when you see anything they post, it's quality. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring that to the drum world. So I think our listeners,
you most definitely do. 100%. Yeah.
Well, and I think that there is a fashion element to the things that you do on the drums. And that is part of what makes us original. Yeah, we are still borrowing our ideas. We're using a launch ramp of somebody else. But I've always said, like, because I grew up skating, the launch ramp was made by somebody else. Once I'm in the air, it's up to me.
Yeah, that's such a good way of putting it. It's so true.
Because if I just get up in the air and do a little judo kick, and it's like, oh yeah, Christian Hosoi. I saw that in 1984. You know, he was, and it's like, no, like once you're in the air, now someone got you up in the air, but you got to do your own thing. You got to make up your own trick. And so I don't look at like a $6,200 teapot and then think, I'm going to replace that with a snare drum. I just think, how does this make me feel? I want to make drummers feel that way.
Yeah.
And then I'm on my own. Like, that's it. I never sit there and like look at the framing of a shot or look at the framing of a video and try to steal it. I just think I will look at it and go, that makes me feel a certain way. And I want to make drummers feel that way. And I think you do that because you look at all this fashion stuff and you're like, I feel a certain way. And I want drummers to feel as cool as I feel right now. And that's how I became your fan before your friend is like, I watched your stuff and I was like, oh yeah, drummers are freaking cool. And drum teachers can be cool, you know, because when I started out, I was so young as far as being a drum teacher publicly. When I started getting a little bit of recognition, I was in my mid 20s. It was very like, well, you're awfully young to be a teacher because teachers are like Jim Chapin and Freddie Gruber and they're in their 70s. And I'm like, no, I left my record deal to do this. And everyone was like, oh, you're the young hip teacher. And I was like, I'm just a guy that likes to explain things. I'm not really worried about age. Well, I kind of felt that when I found you. I was like, damn, this is like the coolest drum lesson I've ever seen. And so it's like I said, it's silly for us to say, well, we just arrived on the scene just out of pure badassity. It's like, well, no, we got it from somewhere. What we didn't do is get it from another drummer. Yeah. Why am I yelling again?
It's true though. But yeah, mate, back to your point. Drummers are cool. Drummers are like the coolest. And what I've, the route I'm going down now, and you know, I haven't really sort of taken off with it. Next month, I'm going to be like, you know, it's going to be VHS, film, blurred photos, the lot, mate. It's going to be absolutely fantastic, right? But my thinking is that over lockdown, we've witnessed and experienced people sort of just almost doing just everything and just showing everything and giving everything in the hope to get something back, you know, relevance, followers, whatever it may
free
be.
Free gear.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is just sort of like classic me. They're all doing that. I'm going to do a complete opposite. You know, here's a grainy picture of like half a snare drum. That's what you're getting for a half. That's what you're getting for a week. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because like drums are cool. You know, we are like, it's art. We don't need to give everything away the entire time. You know, like less is more, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's like, totally. I love that stuff. So,
I think we said this earlier. I have no idea why I can't speak today, but I said this earlier, which is there is a sense of pride that we feel and we know when we've done something right and we know when we've done something original. You and I were talking a lot when I made my cowbell video and there was like a problem with somebody feeling like I ripped them off and it had nothing to do with the cowbell. It had something to do with something else. But I remember just feeling so hurt because I was like, I'm being accused of stealing something and I didn't. I tried to go back to the source material that I was accused of borrowing the idea from. And I was like, I don't see it, man. And it messed me up for a long time. It took me a long time to be cool with that person. And it was just like, but then the great thing is it made me think, okay, but this is how I feel when other people do it. And I think we have to be empathetic as much as possible. No one is stealing or borrowing ideas because they're vindictive human beings. Mm-hmm. What I think they're missing out on is they're missing the encouragement from people like us saying, look, we are in this journey with you. And yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough to come up with an original idea when you feel the pressure of Instagram being like, no, I need another photo today. I need another video today. I'm like, God dang, I just made one yesterday. But so that pressure is there. And then the temptation is this thing sitting right in front of you of like, hey, this other person did all the work. Just steal that. And so what Eddie and I are trying to do with this episode is encourage all of you to be like, turn away from that temptation and try to find something you can be proud of. I would rather have one post per week that I'm proud of than six per week that I feel guilty about.
Yeah, mate, 100%. The amount of posts I've deleted and made, I've spent ages on. The amount of vlogs I've edited, I'm just been like,
bro, we've both deleted posts back in the day because you would be like, hey, I know you didn't steal it from me, but I literally posted that same sticking yesterday. And I'm like, oh, bro, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't even see it. I would just delete my post. It's like, of course, we're going to land on the same stuff now and again, but I don't want to post an inverted double stroke roll the day after you do it. I didn't see your post. I'm sorry. You've done that with me. And, you know, I remember like as soon as I saw a little tiny figurine of Lars in your symbol box, I'm like, well, I sure as hell wouldn't put that in my symbol box. Now it's his. Now he owns it. It's 100% his. Golden. So I think if you, the listeners, if you guys are down, maybe we could have some more episodes on this about how to create an original sound and leave the theft part behind. I think Eddie and I almost needed this cathartic release because it's always there and it's the one thing that we have. And I'm not saying me and Eddie, I'm saying all of us. We have our voice. We have our originality. So when we see our voice imprinted on somebody else, it is actually very difficult to deal with because we're also in an industry that doesn't allow us to call people out, right? You said in the sneaker industry, if that happened, you just like publicly shout out.
Oh my God. Rip them. Mate, I kind of like, and in the fitness world, you know, I see it all the time. It's like this person, fuck you. You know, like they're like Instagram handle, like, mate, right. And I kind of like, you know, I kind of like it a little bit, you know, it's it, but it's there is a difference now. But But yeah, it's so funny. In other, in the sneaker world, it's like, yeah, like, you know.
Yeah, they can win. But in our world, it's kind of like, I just would really rather you didn't do that. So now that that is out of the way, I think we can have future episodes. Like I said, I mean, I would love to really take a deep dive on how we came up with our sounds, because your current sound and your mixing process and everything versus my sound, we're not even, it's almost like two different instruments.
It really is.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, how did that happen? I can tell you for a fact, most of it is not original. Like most of my sound, I think the biggest thing about trying to find out how to be original is that it's a mix of so many influences that you can't actually tell where it all came from. I think it's unoriginal to take everything from one person. But when it's like, well, I've always liked Vinnie Colaiuta's snare tone, but I also like Carter McLean's open kind of two mic setup. But I also like the way that jazz toms sound, but I don't like jazz bass drums. You know, so you start to mix all these things together and it becomes you. So we could definitely do a deep dive on that stuff in the future. But for now, we have to get to some of your listener questions. So one of the perks of being a patron is the fact that you can submit audio questions and hear your voice on this podcast. So let's hear one from Mr. Ben Crawford.
Hey, Mike and Eddie. Love the show. I was just wondering how you think about counting a song in. Do you hum the song first, or do you kind of already know the perfect tempo and just go straight to that tempo, or what you do? I started playing with people for the first time last year, and they asked me to count a song in. So I'm a drummer. I said, sure. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then played the slowest Tennessee whiskey beat you can imagine. So that was a pretty bad feeling when everyone stopped and stared at me. I've progressively gotten better, but I wanted to know how other people thought about counting songs in. And if you could give me a similarly embarrassing story, that might make me feel better. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Mate, I'll give you a funny thing. It's not really embarrassing because I just kind of accepted I do it. But every time I count in, just before I hit the first note, I go, every single time.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like you can hear it in recordings and stuff. Like I've got recordings on my laptop of like LTA in like, and this made the record, but you just can't hear it in the mix. It's me going,
wow.
Like almost like partially singing the drums and singing the vocals. It's really, really bizarre. But mate, count-ins, if you don't have a click, if you have a click, the job's done for you. But
right,
it's really, really hard. I first discovered it was hard in college when I did a count-in and I nailed it and they stopped and went, that was the best count-in you've ever done. And I was like, oh, okay, now you've made me realize it's a thing. I didn't realize it was a thing, but it's actually really, really hard to do. Just something that I do is just sing the song for a bit. And then I always give a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. For me, it's about filling the gaps. I have to. So in my head, I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then out loud, I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4. So filling the gaps and singing the song before I come in always helps. Always.
That's a great point. Yeah. For me, it's singing the chorus, because the verse and the intro that I'm about to play, I won't know if I'm rushing that or dragging that. But when you sing a chorus of a song, the hit part, you actually can tell, you know, if you're like, hit me, baby, one more time. You're like, oh, that's pretty quick. You know, like, so it really, for me, it's always, I sing the chorus. And it took me a long time to realize there are two things in a count in that are not mutually exclusive. So you have the count in, and then you have the tempo that you play after you've counted in. And there are a lot of people, just like what Ben said, you count in and then you don't play at that tempo. And that's what screws up the band.
Yeah.
If you count in the song a little fast, that's fine. But when you go 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, doom, cat, doom, boom, doom, they're like, well, those weren't related. So just like you, I mean, like I do air drum a little bit. 1, 2, 3. So you have to be committed to that groove way before you ever even say one, you know, and there's no one minds waiting for you The 10 seconds it takes you to figure out the tempo, it feels like 20 hours on stage to you. No one else feels that.
Yeah, like, not at all.
But they will feel if you count the song in 20 BPM fast. Mate, then it's like, well, we got to wait for this to be over.
I think I said this before, but you know Foles, the band? Foles?
Yeah.
He uses one of those Tama metronome things.
Yeah,
just
Tama rhythm watch.
Yeah, rhythm watch, just for counting. So he doesn't play a click. He has it on his bass drum. He plays his next play. The red light just shows, and that's what he gets his tempo with.
And then he
comes in, and then he just watches the light just sort of, I think the tech actually just turns it off for a while, but dude, that's a little trick.
Abe Laboriel Jr., who played with Paul McCartney, still does, but there's like Paul McCartney playing to, 200,000 in Moscow, and Abe has that Tama rhythm watch stuck to the side of his head before he counts in. Because, wow. I mean, it's 200,000 people, and they don't play to a click. So he just has to get them in, and then he's good to go. I don't think that whatever you have to do to get the tempo right, I don't find any of it as cheating or embarrassing. Even like a lot of people do exactly what you said. They have in-ears. They don't play to a click, but they do use the click to get the band in. And as soon as they're into that first bar, they turn the click off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, well, at least we started at the tempo on the record, because the tempo on the record will never feel right at the show. It'll always feel like it's in slow motion.
Now, I remember it happened recently, before COVID, like playing a song and thinking, is this the right song? Have I actually put on the wrong track here? Do you know what I mean? It's really hard actually thinking about this. It's a great question, because I played the click for years and years and years now. But I remember that feeling and that anxiety of before when we played to click, of thinking, oh my God, how fast is this song again? And yeah, to answer his question, I think it's a matter of just singing and just trying to fill the gaps.
Yes.
I agree. But it's hard. It is a hard skill.
I think that's the biggest thing, Ben, is just to realize like you're not alone, buddy. That is a tough one for sure. All right, now we're moving on to Jim Hendigus's question.
Hey, Mike and Eddie, Jim Hendigus here. Okay, help me out, guys. Today I had an audition for a local gig and I think it went real poorly. I was just really nervous and every song just sort of, I just didn't feel good. In short, I felt like I sucked, and I don't think I suck, but maybe I'm delusional and maybe I do suck. But anyways, afterwards I went on a long jog and listened to your mindset episode, and the cardio and your wisdom really helped me out. On my cool down stretch, I came to the realization that I really want people to think that I'm a good drummer. I think that's kind of an issue. And if I could just silence that desire to want people to think I'm cool, I could maybe be a better drummer. So do you guys have any thoughts on that? Is that a good insight? And do you guys have any advice on how to shake off a bad audition? Anyways, thank you guys.
Mate, great question. First of all, there are no good auditions. There never is a good audition. Like technical thing, a good audition is like, oh, you get the gig. But even when you get the gig, you would have wanted to always play better. Like they are never good. Everyone is always nervous. The musical directors are nervous. No one's enjoying it at all. You're always going to walk out of an audition thinking you could do it better. You just are. That feeling of being, wanting to prove yourself and wanting people to know you're a good drummer will always be a thing, no matter what level you're at, no matter how long you've been playing drums, because of the amount of hours and blood, sweat and tears we put into this instrument. And it comes down to just confidence, I guess for me, just going, well, this is how I play, this is how I played it. And that is that. But your audition question is, mate, I don't think I've ever witnessed or I've never really auditioned, but you always want to play better, man. Like those nerves, those adrenaline, and everything that you feel is always going to be there. Always going to be there. But it's. What are you going to say?
I think that auditions aren't about getting it right most of the time. Most of the time, auditions are about potential. So the musical director or the leader of the band is more looking for, okay, if we did have four rehearsals, how would this sound then?
Exactly.
And so they're looking for potential. And they're looking for the vibe. Every time, I guarantee it's very rare that the best drummer is the one that got the gig. It's always the one where it's like, yeah, we just had a really good vibe with that person. And Jim, I know you personally, you are all vibe, man. So be you and be okay with the fact that like, hey, this is where I'm at right now. I've literally had bass players tell me in an audition situation, this is where I'm at right now, but I'm practicing every day. And I thought like, all right, well, I get along with you really well. And maybe your audition was at a C+ level, but if you're practicing all the time and you wish you were better, then let's go on this journey together. Maybe I can even be part of what helps you to get better.
Mate, and that feeling of wanting people to know you're a good drummer, or not even know you're a good drummer, know your capabilities, right?
Yeah.
Mate, poof, imagine playing a clinic. That will give you that feeling. That is what I think every single time I come off that stage. I just want them to see what I did in my practice room. But that is never going to ever happen because, you know, these nerves and stuff, they always come up. And I think it's just a matter of just, you know, next time you have an audition, mate, just go in, allow yourself to be nervous and feel those sort of like, feel the pressure, verbalize it. Yeah. And just be yourself, mate. And if the gig's right, you'll get it. If it's not, then, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's the most important point is there's times where it's like, oh, I really wish I would have had this for my career, but it wasn't the right thing for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And someday we'll talk about auditioning for Smash Mouth. So, hey, now. Anyways, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you to our listeners for allowing us to rant a little bit. And I hope that our rants resonated with you. Even if it's not in the drum world, we all want to be original people. We all have to accept the fact that most of our ideas, if not all of them, did come from someone else. Someone else built the launch ramp, but once you got in the air, did you do your own trick? And we all have to work on that. And that's what we wanted this episode to be about. It wasn't about like calling out people that borrow ideas or steal ideas. This episode was about saying, look, originality takes work. It is not something that you're either born with or you're not. It takes work, it takes effort, and it never goes away because just like we said, even if you are original, if you get lazy, you'll steal from yourself because you were original and that's what got you somewhere. So you started stealing your own ideas. And so to constantly push forward, it's why the Deftones will always be my heroes in the music world. Yeah. They never put out the same album twice. Whether it's better or worse, that's up to debate, but they always push for something new. And I think that we all could use a little bit more of that. And I hope that this episode is encouragement for you to say, for Eddie and I mean, like Eddie told you, like, just try to post something that, you know, that you've never posted before and that you've never seen before. That's a tough one.
I would love the patrons to do that, you know, just a picture on Instagram, whatever it may be, a small little video. Just try and do something.
Just tag us.
Just tag us and let us see what you come up with and let us know where the inspiration came from and how you sort of evolved it.
I'm going to try to do, while we were talking, I had this idea, like, I don't want to always just show that I own a lot of snare drums, but I feel that in the snare drum, there's a thing that can either be the hero or the villain, and that's the throw-off. Mm-hmm. If your throw-off does its job, it's like a firefighter. No one thanks them. They just went around, saved a few lives tonight. No big deal. If your throw-off doesn't do its job, it is the freaking villain of the story. It ruins everything. So I'm going to try to take some macro shots of all the different throw-offs I have. I don't want to show the drum. I just want to show like macro super close-ups of just throw-offs and just make a whole collage of those today.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, bang in. Cool.
All right. Well, take it easy, man.
I was literally just thinking in my head then, what can I do?
I bought you as much time as I could, bro.
Yeah, so. I think my mission, right, until like next month is basically, mate, what you said about drums being cool and drum teachers being cool and stuff. I'm going to try and make drum lessons like a piece of like a music video, like a piece of art.
There's one else in the world that can do it besides you, and I really mean that. Okay. I've told you that behind the scenes, like. There, you have a gift, and I want you to use that gift. If you get too popular, I'll obviously end our friendship. But I really do want you to do moderately want you to do like a nice B minus.
Mate, it's coming. I tell you what, mate, I'm going away for 5 days now for the first time in about 2.5 years, chilling in a wooden cabin. When I get back, yes. mate, I'm going to start uploading videos on my sofa and all that kind of good stuff, man.
Yes, sir. Go have some fun. Until then, patrons, thank you guys so much. Please, if you haven't supported this podcast yet, please consider it. Head on over to patreon.com/drumwithmikeandeddie. But for now, episode 51, Mike and Eddie Bitch and Moan is in the can.
Sick. Have a good camp, mate.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.